Speaking of ESPN, let's check in with our buddy Field Yates. And Field Yates, our weekly visit brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Head to www.betterplantoday.com and schedule a free consultation at Naples Wealth Planning. Hello, Field, young man. How you doing, sir?
Pete, I'm doing very well. How are you?
Better than the image of the NFL this week. It is unbelievable. You click on, ESPN site. It's just, if it's not allegations about sexual assault, it's, you got fights in an airport. Okay, granted, Pac-Man was set up. You got, I'm looking at, Kellen Winslow the second now is going to have to stand trial. I mean, this is not a Marcell Dareus, obviously, from Jacksonville. Not one, but two women accusing him of sexual assault. I mean, this is unbelievable, and I wonder what's going through Roger Goodell. How much money is he going to have to spend on investigations this week alone, Field?
Well, it's certainly going to be a busy, I would say, fall for Roger Goodell, or maybe late summer for Roger Goodell in the league office investigating these various matters that you have alluded to, Pete. It's been a bad week for the NFL, and the reality is during this time of the year, it's rare for the NFL to make headlines, period. Unfortunately for the league, all the headlines have basically been very, very negative ones, ones that reflect poorly on the league, and it's why people make perceptions about athletes that are unfair, right? We think of these players, people make sort of these minimalist expectations, or I should say minimalist observations about players, because the reality is that a teeny tiny population of players that is staining the reputation of the players at large, but the NFL's had a bad week in the court of public opinion. There's no two ways about it.
And let's start with I'll get to LeSean McCoy in a second, but Marcell Dareus facing sexual assault lawsuits from two different women. See, I'm just wondering, one's from January of 2017 before the national title game, but I'm just wondering how Roger Goodell is going to handle all this. And I'm wondering, Field, did Marcell Dareus, according to the league personal conduct policy, you have to report stuff like this whether you think you're innocent or not, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think he told Roger Goodell about this?
That I don't know, and I don't really want to venture a guess only because I'm wading into unknown territory. Mm-hmm. What I would say, though, is, first of all, I think the NFL's plan of action is this, is they are going to let the legal process run its course. And that has shown itself in many previous cases that the NFL has to go that way. And I was talking about this to somebody recently, is Reuben Foster for the 49ers was accused of some pretty substantial things recently by a woman who eventually recanted those statements. Those accusations, I should say. So I think that it's important for the NFL to let the legal process run its course while also keeping a very close eye to the ground on all of this stuff and understanding that what can we do, if anything? And I understand that you can't control every single player. This is not babysitting players, especially grown men. But how do we do our best to avoid these things? And if players are not reporting incidents, then either they're not in tune enough with the policy or the policy is not strict enough to incentivize them to report these things immediately. I mean, a big point was made after Cardinals GM Steve Keim was arrested, I believe, on the night of July 4th and, facing DUI charges. Mm-hmm. And I think, the team made it very clear that he immediately contacted the organization, in part because you have to. It's a responsibility. But it's been a tough week for the NFL, and I'm just not sure how the tides turn in any substantial way anytime soon.
Yeah, the Cardinals, I mean, there's several stories there with the owner tweeting out, what is political, what isn't. I mean, this is the hypocrisy. You can't expect the players to do one thing and then the owner come out and do something, do a 180 and then claim, well, it's just my friend. And I don't know. Certainly, it's good. I just wish we didn't have to talk about all this minutia, but it's crazy that some of these secondary headlines are what's taking over now the NFL. You can't click on NFL or Google it without something it's all about off the field, incidents that are going on. So what's your take on what's going on in Arizona?
Yeah, so I would say, by the way, just again, like I think in 2 weeks, a lot of what we'll be talking about, I mean, we'll be, sort of goggling over, players running around in T-shirts and shorts again. That's what we doing the NFL, right? I mean, with, you know, tapes, you know, whatever, some rookie wide receiver makes an unbelievable catch. And here we go. You know, what a great play when he was being defended by nobody. So soon enough, this will turn. Not because those incidents that are taking place right now are not important or grave, but because we'll have things to discuss that will be, this is the quietest time of the sports calendar. It just is. And we have the World Cup, but even that is now down, obviously, the final two matches to be played this weekend. As far as the Cardinals go, you know, obviously the words from their owner, Michael Bidwell, are going to be ones that kind of fall on deaf ears, right? I mean, people don't want to hear that, hey, you know, we encourage our players to speak their mind. Just don't do it on game day. It feels like trying to have your cake and eat it too. As it pertains to GM Steve Keim, obviously it's a difficult situation for the team to have to handle. I don't know how they will punish him, if they will punish him, or whether the NFL will punish him as well, but, you know, by the letter of the law, he is subject to punishment, as players are, so it would not be a surprise to me if he faces some level of punishment. Maybe that's a suspension. Now, people will argue, what is a suspension for a general manager who, you know, could just text someone and say, hey, let's make sure we sign that guy, or let's make sure that we, you know, extend that player, or call that guy up from the practice squad. But, you know, the measures are in place, and we'll see how the NFL winds up on these.
Yeah, well, Ursa got suspended before, too, right? So isn't there some, they check your phone. I mean, they have to, you know, you basically have to be, you know, just be out of, get out of the picture for a couple of weeks.
Exactly. You know, I think the most recent example of a GM being suspended was Ray Farmer, the Browns suspension. Mm-hmm. And the Browns GM was suspended because of the texting between him and coaches during a game. And, you know, really, what changes? I mean, you know, some of these guys, a lot of the work they do, you bring your computer home, you got all the film you need, and obviously the NFL is going to discourage them from being a part of the operation, but I think it's entirely impossible to just completely, you know, wash them out of the picture and say, no, you can't, you know, you can't do football matters. So a suspension might be perceived by some to be a suspension in vain, but the NFL does have policies in place, and it's important for them to enact them.
All right, and again, the biggest story of the last 72 hours is LeSean McCoy with the Buffalo Bills, and the latest now is that the former girlfriend telling police she thought that McCoy set her, quote, set her up for Tuesday's home invasion, beating, and robbery. And just, I know your colleague Mike Rodak has been talking about, you've been talking about, I thought you made a great point this week that, you know, Brandon being the GM and, you know, Terry and Kim Pegula, probably, you know, maybe they're around now, but this is one of those limbo weeks where, you know, front office people aren't really around until the next for 10 days. So where?
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's the hard part, Pete. Is that, I mean, listen, there are a lot of hard parts to this, but there is no playbook for when a player is accused of some absolutely deplorable things. But when you have something that comes across your radar for about 320 days of the year, maybe even 330 days of the year, the entire operation is in the building together. And you can say, everybody, we got a code red. Let's meet in someone's office right now and figure out what we're going to do next. But this is that rare time of the year where coaches and GMs and owners are not in the facility. Brandon Bean, I mean, I don't know this with certainty, but, like, you know, I have NFL people that I will text, and they'll respond. I'll text them at 9 a.m. in the morning, and they'll respond at 7 p.m. and say, hey, sorry, I've been with the kids on the beach all day. You know, like, this is the one chance they get to do that. So, you know, the opportunity to huddle up and say, what's our next step, is difficult. You know, and that's even with the player with you in that case. You know, sometimes when something happens, the player's in the building and you can bring them in and say, what's the deal here? But a lot of difficult obstacles for the Bills to navigate right now. And yeah, there is no, like, it's not as if you can just fall back on, here's what we always do when this happens. It's, you got to take a stand. You got to do so with a lot of moving parts.
Can he be disciplined for that one game? Under, again, the league personal conduct policy, whether he was involved in any of this or not, for just for failure not to report.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think that what I found here, Pete, is, and I'm sure this is something you've concluded as well, you know, the Jameis Winston case, to me, feels like it checks a lot of the boxes of what merits a six-game suspension.
Yep.
There's admission of guilt. There is things that appear to be a violation of some of the policies that would result in a six-game suspension, and yet he's serving a three-game suspension. I don't really know what it's going to take for a player to actually see the full six games as a domestic violence policy. Now, there have been some other players that I've, you know, there have been some players that either have been, like, out of the league or retired that have, you know, been suspended for multiple games. But really, I mean, all these notable cases that have a domestic violence tie to them seemingly have not resulted in six games, right? Josh Brown, the Giants kicker. Now, he was out of the league already. Never got back into the league, I should say. Jameis Winston, three games. You know, I don't know what to expect with LeSean McCoy, because six games sounds like the ceiling, but not the standard.
No, I think, personally, to me, if it is, if he's involved in this in any way, shape, or form, if it, if there's evidence to suppose that he was, if it comes out, he's done. I mean, to me, this is no six games here. This is it. He's either, to my opinion, he's either cleared of this or he's out forever. That's what I think.
Well, that could be the case. That could be the case. If, you know, if he's not clear of this, you know, the compelling, you know, listen, and again, none of these are apples to apples. Mm-hmm. None of them are. But you think about someone like Ray Rice, and he never made it back into the league. The difference between Ray Rice and LeSean McCoy is, first of all, there's a video of Ray Rice, and it's despicable, obviously.
Yep.
But, you know, he also was not a good player during his final season. I mean, not a high-level player like LeSean McCoy is.
Mm-hmm.
LeSean McCoy is one of the, you know, what, eight best running backs in football?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's right up there at the very least. I mean, he's clearly the Bills' best player, and it's not close on offense. So, you know, the difference might be that, you know, Ray Rice may have paid his penance, but just no one's willing to give him a chance. Someone might be willing to give LeSean McCoy a chance, given that, you know, if he's found guilty of this stuff, I'd say no way, no chance. But, you know, if he has to deal with some time, and he's still an effective player, which is a different dynamic than a lot of people are experienced with.
But but that picture is out there, and even though it got taken down, everybody has it. I've retweeted it. I mean, that is a vicious. I mean, her face is just brutalized, and what raises more of a red flag with me about this situation, Field, is that her cousin, right? I think her cousin, forget about the illegal steroids and needles that she alleged, but specifics like he allegedly beat his son for peeing in the bed, the dog and a kidney failure beat his dog Henny. I mean, those seem very specific. I mean, you really have to go out of your way to make up stuff like that if it's not true. I'm not saying it is true, but, it does raise a gigantic red flag for me.
Pete, a lot of the signs are ugly right now. They are. There's just no two ways about it. We're going to reserve. I know I'm going to reserve judgment until we get to much more clarity. But yeah, it's there's some scary signs right now, and this is one that I know everybody who I've spoken with. This could be a long, long road ahead to see what the end result is.
Well, I'm trying to think, you know, what we can. Let me ask you this. Let's get to some positive stuff here. Is there any one particular camp that you are looking forward to seeing? You know, again, what do we really learn in camp? I don't know, but what team? Not the Patriots, not the Steelers, not the Eagles. But what team out, not Kansas, but what team out there are you looking at that could maybe be this year's Jaguars?
That's a good question. What could be this year's Jaguars? You know, I think a couple of teams that come to mind, you know, I think Tennessee's got a chance to be very good, but it all pivots on whether their quarterback can make that next step, which would be Marcus Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're looking at a team that I think could rise, maybe somewhat quietly, I think Detroit's got a chance to be pretty good. The biggest impediment is their division. The division's so good with Minnesota and Green Bay that, you know, there's a chance they could be the third best team in their division and still only win eight games or seven games. But I do believe that Detroit is a team that might be better on paper than we realize, and the quarterback is really, really good. I don't know about, you know, playing in the conference championship game, but I do believe that Detroit could be better than people want to give credit for right now.
I totally agree. My partner Craig Sheeman is off this week, a lifelong Lions fan. And we always have this debate,
you know?
We always have this debate because he knows I'm from New England, so he's like, well, you haven't had to suffer. And I'm like, well, yeah. But my feeling is always with teams like the Lions is, I mean, they went through their 0-16 season. We have gone through 1-15s, 2-14s, the Lisa Olsen stuff. A lot of bad things, bad stadium with a pay. I've been through all that. But I've also been through more heartbreak than the average Lions fan has, you know, and I don't take anything for granted now. So is there any truth? Is there something to my argument next time I see my partner? He's like, well, you know, you can't relate to what we've gone through. I'm like, well, you have to get to that point. And then Wayne Font said, all right, you know, losing a heartbreaker once every 5 years, which Detroit really has not done. I mean, is there some truth to that? You know what I'm talking about? The pain and suffering that I've gone through, I'm sorry. No Lions fan can compare to that.
I mean, listen, here's the reality is that every person deals with, every sports fan deals with victory and defeat. But the funny thing is, like, the agony that some Lions fans felt during that 0-16 season might be comparable to, like, just to borrow the drinking analogy, like, there are Red Sox fans who think that the sky is falling if the team misses the playoffs. The Lions didn't win a game that year back in 2005 or whatever it was, whatever year that was, 2007. You know? So, like, everything is about how you handle it. Whereas there, you know, like, there might be Jaguars fans that feel like last year was better than the Eagles. You know, I mean, I'm probably speaking facetiously there, but, like, you know, they're probably Jaguars fans who feel like they won the Super Bowl, whereas Patriots fans, you know, can barely utter the word Super Bowl after last year's game and how it played out.
What about, I know we've chatted about this before, but has your mind changed at all? Have you heard about anything? The Hall of Fame game coming up between the Bears and Ravens in, I think, three weeks or 20 days from today. And I can't, what's the first exhibition game, a Hall of Fame game I've looked forward to in a long, long time, simply because I am intrigued at how the referees are going to attempt to call this new helmet-to-helmet rule. And has your opinion changed? I know they tried to back off of it when I was on vacation last week a little bit, some officials, but has your mind changed at all about the officiating and especially new officials since four of them have gone?
Yeah, my mind hasn't changed. I just think that I'm, like you, anticipating this game much more than I would the average Hall of Fame game, right? I mean, I'm expecting this to be one where, you know, we actually are watching it with more interest than just how do the starters look for the seven plays that they play. I mean, I'm looking forward to it in the sense that, like, how does the helmet rule work? How does the kick, you know, all these different stipulations that are at least either trial balloons or full-time changes, how do they impact the game? How do the new kickoff rules work? There's a lot of stuff that I'm definitely looking forward to that could impact the game greatly.
And a couple more questions. Again, Phil Yates joining us from ESPN. Bill Polian, your colleague, and had some, I think, I don't know about you, but I think the Alliance of American Football is going to work. I really do. And I'm intrigued by, I saw today the, you know, the contracts and the player allocation, the combine and draft numbers, all that stuff. What are your thoughts about the Alliance of American Football?
I'm excited for it. And I think that one of the things about the NFL, or trying to compete with the NFL is doing it. And you know, the way you do it, in my opinion, is not to just zig in every way that the NFL zags. It's to try to create a close facsimile of it, while also not stretching yourself too thin. And, like, the player allocation pool, not making guys that live in Arizona have to fly once a week to, you know, Detroit to play in a game because that's where their team is. And having fixed contracts, I think it's smart. Rather than trying to become another NFL, NFL 2.0, accept what you are. You're a developmental league that can probably cater to players that aren't quite ready for NFL rosters or guys that are on the fringe of NFL rosters and, you know, were previously on one and trying to work their way back to one. I think it's smart. They've got a lot of former NFL people, a lot of pedigree there. So I think that it's got a chance to be successful because we know the appetite to watch football is always going to be there.
I know Bill said, you know, each of the teams will have at least five colleges players become theirs. Four designated NFL teams and a CFL team. Just as an example, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, just say the Orlando team, for instance, coached by Steve Spurrier. Now, do they have access to Florida, Florida State, Miami, FAU, FIU? Is that how that's going to work?
I would imagine because it is supposed to be regional. I don't know if the regional side of it is where a player is from or where he went to school. But I think on the college front, yes, it would be, hey, you have access to whatever schools are within 350 miles of you, or maybe it's they just designate states, or maybe they, you know, make the Orlando team only give them Florida because there's so much football within the state, rather than giving them Florida and Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana and everything else in the region there, that would just turn into SEC, grad program there. So it'll be really interesting. I'm in on it. I really trust a lot of people that are involved with it, and I think it's got a chance to give us something that we crave during the off season, because as much as we all like to have some quiet time and spend some time decompressing from the NFL season, I can speak basically universally when I say we all miss football.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I think what is interesting, too, it certainly seems like it's going to be the AAA for the NFL because it looks like you're going to be able to leave and go to the NFL if you, quote, unquote, get called up. I mean, I kind of like that aspect of it. I'm sure the NFL does, too.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think it's, again, managing expectations,
mm-hmm.
not trying to be a competitor, not trying to be what the XFL was when it went so the first time around, when it just basically said, let's do everything in the anti-NFL way and we'll take it over. No, it's not going to work. It just isn't. I mean, it was too oaky for its own good. Now, I think the XFL will be much more successful the second time around. But the first time around, the NFL, I think the XFL realized, like, they would probably tell you, Vince McMahon would be able to admit all the things that went awry.
All right, quick question, serious question about the Emmy Awards, okay? I'm not sure what kind of shows that you like or when you're not working, which is like every day, it seems like 24-7. But just the drama series that were nominated, The Americans, The Crown, Game of Thrones, Handmaid's Tale, Stranger Things, This Is Us, Westworld, any of those that you've seen, that you like, that you've been watched in your prediction, just on the drama series? Are you a Game of Thrones person?
I've watched Game of Thrones. I'm not head over heels like everybody else is.
Ugh.
I thought This Is Us was fantastic, though. Are you a big Game of Thrones guy?
Big Game of Thrones guy.
Yeah, I mean, I thought This Is Us was fantastic. I really like Game of Thrones, but I wasn't like as hardcore as everybody else. And the final season will be exciting. We're throwing Billions in there. I think Billions is a really good drama as well.
It is.
But maybe that's nominated for a different category. Really good show on Showtime, obviously.
Yeah. All right, Field, you're the man. And what are you up to this weekend?
Let's see, off to Dallas for the National Fantasy Football Convention, which should be fun.
I meant to just real quick about that, because the officials are getting together, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right?
That's right, yeah, should be good.
We'll talk about that next week. That's going to be really, really interesting. All right, Phil, thanks a lot, a pleasure. Enjoy Dallas, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Sounds good, Pete. Take care.
Take care. Phil Yates, his appearance on the Sheeman and Shepherd brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out www.betterplantoday.com and schedule a free consultation to our friends at Naples Wealth Planning.